السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأسفياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فازره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أوصيكم بتقوى الله والسمع والطاعة، وإن كان عبدا حبشيا فإنه من يعش منكم بعدي فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا، فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. My dear brothers and respected elders, honorable ulama, I begin in the name of Allah and thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him and seek His forgiveness and ask Him to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to enlighten our hearts with His love, love for His beloved Prophet, love for His family, love for His companions, love for the people who love Allah and are loved by Allah, and to guide us all to the right path so that we can all live like Muslims, die like Muslims, and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers, just as Qari Sahib recited a few verses of Quran, and they are very important verses. Every verse of Quran is important. Not every verse, every word and every letter of Quran is important. In Arabic there is a saying, Kalamul Muluk Mulukul Kalam. The word of the kings are the kings of the words. There is no bigger king than Allah, so there is no bigger word than the word of Allah. فَضْلُ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَلَامِ كَفَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَى خَلْقِ. That status of Quran over everything else is like that of Allah Himself over His creation. Every word of Quran, every verse of Quran is important. But some verses, they relate directly to us and affect the lives of people more than others. And this is a very important verse of Quran, a very important passage of Quran, sums up our mission and aim and scope of life. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who believe, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqati. Fear Allah as Allah ought to be feared. Allah is Rabbul Alameen, He's our Lord, our Master, our Creator. Whatever we have is from Allah. The food that we drink, the water, the food that we eat, the water that we drink, clothes that we wear, houses that we live in, family, friends, businesses, cars, everything Allah gives and we take. Allah deserves to be thanked. Allah deserves to be worshipped. Allah deserves to be obeyed. Most of all, Allah deserves to be feared. Allah deserves to be feared. And this is the root of all goodness. This will ensure that we're able to live like Muslims and die like Muslims. It's not easy to live like Muslims and die like Muslims. In fact, Allah has mentioned a story in the Quran and labeled it the best of the stories. Story of a very special man. A man who was a Nabi of Allah. Himself was a Nabi. His father was a Nabi. His grandfather was a Nabi. His great-grandfather was Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu wa taslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, Ana da'watu abi Ibrahim, I'm the result of the dua of my father Ibrahim. We are also result of the dua of Ibrahim Khalilullah. When he made a dua, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَائِيلِ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ رَبَّنَا وَبَثْ رَبَّنَا وَاجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. Ya Allah, raise a nation which will be obedient to you. And for the benefit of the nation, raise a Nabi, one Rasul. Allah wanted that Rasul to be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah also wanted him to be Khatamun Nabiyyin, Rahmatul Lil Alameen. So Allah wanted to send other prophets as well. So Allah gave Ibrahim alayhi salam another son and sent all other prophets through him. And when the time came to fulfill the promise Allah had made as a result of the dua of Ibrahim, then Allah raised Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibrahim alayhi salam had prayed for one Rasul. وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. One Rasul. And what a Rasul he was. خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. Allah is Rabbul Alameen. He made his beloved Prophet رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam's concern for his children. وَوَسَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Oh my sons, Allah has chosen deen for you. Let it not be that you die but in a state of Islam. And that's what Allah commands us directly as well. And the one thing which can go more way, a long way in helping us to live like Muslims and die like Muslims, Allah has mentioned in the next verse, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold on to the rope of Allah collectively. Don't cause differences. And don't cause divisions amongst yourselves. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينًا وَكَانُوا شَيَّا لَسْتَ مِنُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Those who cause differences, divisions, sects and so on. Allah says, oh my beloved Prophet, you have nothing to do with them. Rasulullah has got nothing to do with them. Allah doesn't want to know them. Allah doesn't like people. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا. Don't be like those who cause divisions and differences. وَاخْتَلَفُوا. And they cause divisions and differences. مِن بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. After clear evidence has been given to them. And those who cause differences and divisions. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. They might get away with it here. They might become whatever. And they might get away with all their plans. But don't worry. Eventually they will have to return to Allah. And Allah knows. Allah will judge them. And Allah will punish them for the differences they caused. You might be saying, why am I sitting here then causing differences? I'm not causing differences. I haven't caused any difference. The differences have existed for 1400 years. Especially the Sunni-Shia differences. This is the oldest rift that people caused in the Muslims. People caused people to be separated away from the Muslims. Led them astray. Led them on a path of disobedience to Allah. And made the beloved companions of Rasulullah. And labeled them as rebels. As murtads, na'uzu billah min zalik. We recite, I am not causing difference. I'm just here to help you understand the differences. People who not only consider you as kafirs, there are many people out there in the world who don't consider you as Muslims. And why should they consider you as Muslims when they consider those people whom Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. They are Muslims through and through. Radiyallahu anhu wa radu anhu. Not only was Allah happy with them and they were happy with Allah. Allah says, yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu. Allah loves them and they love Allah. These people, they are not only called you kafirs, they call them kafirs. And calling another Muslim a kafir, Imam Nawawi rahmahullah, who was one of the great muhaddisun of the Middle Ages of Islam, Imam Nawawi rahmahullah, he's in a wonderful book, and Allah has given that book immense acceptance, and it's recited in many parts of the world very commonly. It's a small book, Riyadus Salihin. In there, Imam Nawawi rahmahullah has dedicated a special chapter, Bab Tahrim Qawluhu Li Muslim Ya Kafir, a chapter entitled the fact it's haram to call another Muslim kafir. Man da'a rajulan bil kufri aw qala adu Allah, whosoever calls another person a kafir or enemy of Allah, wa laysa kadhalik, and it's not so, illa hara alay ay raja'a alay, except that kufr will come back to haunt him and he will become a kafir. Idha qala ar-rajul li akhihi ya kafir, when a man calls his brother a kafir, a Muslim, al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, a Muslim is the brother of another Muslim, a Muslim should not hurt another Muslim, he should not insult him, he should not humiliate him, he should not degrade him, a Muslim should befriend another Muslim, in fact treat him like a brother and protect him. And when he calls his brother, he should really address him and treat him like a brother. But instead, إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلُ لِيَخِيهِ يَا كَافِرِ, he calls him, oh you kafir. The Prophet of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sadiq al-ameen, wama yantiqu anil hawa, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. The beloved Prophet of Allah, he said, فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهَا أَحَدُهُمَا, it will become binding on one of them. If the person you are calling is a kafir, then he deserves it. Otherwise, illa raja'a alayhi. وَإِنْ كَانَ كَمَا قَالْ وَإِلَّا رَجَعَ عَلَيْهِ, if he is as he claims it to be, okay. If not, then that kufr will come back to haunt him. And there is a danger, not just a danger, but more than likely he will become a kafir if he isn't already a kafir. And the people have the audacity to label such beloved, honorable, noble people, people that Allah was proud, Allah chose to be in the company of his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One such noble companion is a very special companion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Imam Bukhari in his Sahih has narrated from another Sahabi, Huzaifa radiyallahu anhu. He was asked, who is the man who resembles the Prophet most in conduct, dealing, affairs, habits? All Sahaba were special, were a reflection of the Prophet's personality, as many students are a reflection of the personality of their teachers and elders. He was asked, who's the man who resembles the Prophet most, conduct, dealings and affairs? Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّ أَشْبَهَ النَّاسِ دَلًّا وَسَمْتًا وَهَدْيًا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ لَإِبْنُ أُمُّ عَبْدٍ. Ibn Umm Abdin is the kunniyat of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. In another hadith, on another occasion, Rasulullah said, قَدْ رَضِيتُ لَكُمْ مَا رَضِيَ لَكُمْ بِهِ إِبْنُ أُمُّ عَبْدٍ. I am happy with you, whatever Abdullah bin Mas'ud is happy. Whatever he likes, I also like. He was Rasulullah's personal attendant for many, many years, especially when Rasulullah used to go on a journey. You know, like many akabir kam, buzurgani deen kam, he is Hazrat Khas, Khadmi Khas. Khadmi Khas kehte hai na? He was the Prophet's Khadmi Khas. He used to pick up Rasulullah's shoes, give Rasulullah water for wudu, take care of Rasulullah's miswak. And alhamdulillah, Fiqh Hanfi is mainly based on the narrations of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. One of the senior Sahaba, but senior most Sahaba. And this special Sahabi who resembled the Prophet most, conduct, dealing and affairs, Allahu Akbar, he said, O you people, man kana minkum mustannan fal yastanna biman qad mat. You want to follow anybody? Follow those who've passed away. Don't look up to living people to set the standard. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ وَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Living people can't be too sure. One day they are something, tomorrow they might be something else. Many people, one day you see them, mashallah, especially when jamaats come, they always sit at the front. So you can see whenever there is tashkil, I've just got a few problems, just make dua, Allah give me, Allah sort them out. I'm ready for you for the rest of my life. Have you ever heard such people? وَمِنْهُمْ مَنَا هَدَ اللَّهَ لَيْنَا أَتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَسَّدَّقَنَّا وَلَنَكُونَنَّا مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah has mentioned it in the Quran. That's what they do. MashaAllah, Sufi sahab, pagdi, dadi, kurta, jubba, friends of... Every day, whenever a jamaat comes, I'm ready rest of my life. Just make dua. فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُورِدُونَ. When Allah gives them something, then they do a U-turn, they flip. Flip-flop. They do a U-turn. بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُورِدُونَ فَآقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. They did a U-turn, and they, because they lied with Allah, they tried to cheat Allah. Allah knows, Allah fills the heart with nifaq. And this is why then soon what happens, they said, make dua, we're ready for the rest of the life. All Tabrighi brothers want, they say, you can keep the rest of your life, just give us 4 months. They only want 4 months, inshallah, then you can keep the rest of your life. But anyway, so then they flip, and then next time Jamaat comes, and they go to do a bit of wasuli. So he says to his son, son, go and tell him I'm not home. So he says, my father says he's not home. Allahu Akbar. So Abdullah bin Masood says, don't be sure about the living people. Follow those who've passed away. Ulaika ashabu Muhammadin. They were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ikhtarahumullahu li suhbati nabiyyi wa li iqamati dini. That's what I wanted to say. Allah chose them to be in the company of His beloved Prophet and to establish His deen. Rasulullah was sent to spread deen. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. Islam came to spread. And who spread deen? It was Sahaba who spread deen. Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhi majmain spread deen. Rasulullah taught them, will supervise them, train them, educate them, guide them, give them. Like, you know, when jamaats go in chilla 40 days, you get hidayat. In the markaz, you get hidayat, then you get kar guzari. Rasulullah would give them hidayat. He would go with them as well. He sent 150 expeditions from Medina. 25 or so he personally accompanied. The rest he sent Sahaba on their own. And when Rasulullah left this world, Sahaba continued. And they spread Islam. They took Islam to all the corners of the world. Wherever. Allahu Akbar. Within a few years, 45, 46 years. Rasulullah's Nubuwwah 23 years. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu 2 years. Hazrat Umar 10 years. Hazrat Usman 11 years. 46 years. Islam spread from scratch to more than half the known world at the time. So Allah chose these blessed souls, and they never ever said no to Rasulullah. Whatever Rasulullah demanded, if it was money, money, time, time, life, life. I never said no to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah was proud of them. Allah didn't just say radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu for nothing. And Allah didn't just say radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah said yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu. Allah wasn't just happy with them. Allah loved them. Allah loved them and they loved Allah. Allah loved them, they loved Allah. When a sheikh comes, everybody lines up. MashaAllah. Hazrat Sahab. Hazrat Sahab. They line up respectfully to make musafa. MashaAllah. This is the love Allah puts of pious people in the hearts of other people. But everybody lines up to show respect to the sheikh. You should respect pious people. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong. It's expected. People, out of courtesy, love for pious people, they show respect. But Allah says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَخْفِذْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَا نِتَّبَاكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Ask ulama what it means. Allah is telling Rasulullah, oh my beloved Prophet, spread your wings. Spread your wings for your followers, for your sahaba. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. If they do anything wrong, don't worry about it. Don't get upset. If they do anything wrong, فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ, overlook them. Don't reprimand them. Be good to them. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And not only that, seek forgiveness. You seek forgiveness from me for them. Allahu Akbar. Allah should really say to Sahaba, Allah does say, be careful when you come to my Nabi's house.
And don't come to my Nabi. If you want something from my Nabi, wala. Allah says, don't call him like you call yourself. وَلَوَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. You want something from my Nabi? Don't call him out. Come out. Ya Rasulullah, we are here. Can you please come out? Don't say that. Just wait for my Nabi to come out. When he comes out, then present your case. Ask him what you want. And don't just barge into my Nabi's house. لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتَ النَّبِيِّ إِلَّا أَنْ يُوذَنَ لَكُمْ. Only go if he calls you. And if he calls you for some food, whatever, فَإِذَا تَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا. When you've eaten, leave. Don't hang about for chit-chat. Don't hang about for gossip, for chatting, for cracking jokes, whatever. No, leave. This hurts my prophet, but he's too embarrassed to ask you to leave. I, Allah, am telling you to leave. But in this verse, Allah says, "Fa'fu anhum," overlook them when they've done something. Don't worry about it. "Wastaghfir lahum," you seek forgiveness from me for them. And "washawirhum fil amr," and consult them, ask them. And you need to do something, ask them, how should we do it? What should be done? Allah is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah is telling them, when some big sheikh comes, mashallah, our akabirin, they come from India, Pakistan, other towns as well, mashallah. When a sheikh comes, everybody gathers around and to sit humbly in the company of the sheikh. Mashallah, no bigger sheikh, no bigger nabi than Rasulullah. And Allah is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not any weak hadith from Fazal-e-Amal. Many people are allergic to Fazal-e-Amal. Many people are allergic to all sorts of things, peanuts and everything. MashaAllah. Many people are allergic to Fazal-e-Amal. Oh, fabricated hadiths full of stories. Well, there are stories in the Quran. Rasulullah didn't have problem with stories either. Hadith in Bukhari. Haddithu an bani Israel wala haraj. Even when the Jews and Christians tell you stories, no problem, just listen to them. So if you can listen to stories of Jews and Christians, then what's wrong with listening to a story Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah has written? Are Christians better than him? No. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah was a grand Shaykh of recent times. One of the greatest muhaddisun in living history. Many of his students are great muhaddisun, alhamdulillah. But anyway, many people are allergic to all sorts of things. Allahu Akbar. But this isn't from a weak hadith from anywhere. In Fazal-e-Amal, hundreds of verses of Quran, many, many sahih hadiths, many authentic stories. But people who have allergy, they have allergy. What can you do? So Allah says in Quran, Suratul Kahf, a surah every Muslim should try and read every Friday. Be a constant reminder, continuous. Allah is telling his beloved prophet, oh my beloved prophet, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Sit with them. You sit with them. Don't tell them, come close. And whenever Rasulullah would sit, Sahaba would look for any opportunity to sit with Rasulullah. Look at his noble face. But Allah is telling Rasulullah, you sit with them. Give them the opportunity to sit with you. And when you sit with them, then don't even look away. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Keep looking at them. Look at them. MashaAllah, how wonderful they are. Why? Allah is happy with them. They are happy with Allah. In fact, Allah loves them. They love Allah. Let's pray for them. Seek forgiveness for them. And Allah isn't just telling Rasulullah how noble these souls were. Allah told even Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. Allah has mentioned their example in Torah and Injil. Allah mentioned about Rasulullah as well. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They would recognize Rasulullah like they recognize their own children. But just not Rasulullah, they would even recognize the Sahaba of Rasulullah. They would recognize Abu Bakr. It's mentioned Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to Yemen. He met a monk. The monk saw him and came walk running to him. He said, if I'm not mistaken, you are from Makkah. Yeah, yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, you Qurayshi. Yeah, yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, you from Banu Tain. Yep. What can I do for you? He said, if I'm not mistaken, you have a mark on your stomach as well. What's it got to do with you? Mind your own business. If I'm not mistaken, you have a mark on your stomach as well. As the Abu Bakr said, well, so? He goes, I know that a Nabi is going to appear soon, and I can see that you are the first man to accept him. You will be the man, first number one, to accept him and testify him and to believe in him. So if you don't mind, please, I would like a look. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu showed him and he said, you are definitely that man. Umar radiallahu anhu, similarly, when the Jews would see him, they would know he is Rasul. Abu Bakr is the Prophet's right-hand man. Hazrat Umar is the Prophet, as though, in modern terms, his left-hand man. The Prophet said, I have two advisors. Two in the heaven, I have four advisors. Two in the heavens, two on earth. My advisors in the heavens, Jibreel, Mikael. My advisors on dunya, Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr and Umar, radiallahu anhuma. The Prophet said, me and Abu Bakr and Umar, khuliqtu ana wa Abu Bakr wa Umar min turbatin wahida wa fiha dudfan. Me and Abu Bakr and Umar have been created from the same clay, and that is where we will be buried. Not only buried, the Prophet was going, Abu Bakr on the left, Rasulullah his hands on both. He said, Hakada nubathu yawm al qiyamah. This is how we will rise on the day of Qiyamah as well. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, especially with Rasulullah, till this day in the grave, will remain with him till the day of Qiyamah, and shall rise with him and be with him on the pond and beyond for eternity. And if anybody burns, he can burn all the way to hell. And people do. And Allah says they will. لَيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. And anybody who burns at their name, Allah says, let him burn because he's a kafir. Only a kafir burns at the name of Abu Bakr and Umar, especially, and the rest of the Sahaba. So people, I was saying people who have no shame and they call Abu Bakr and Umar kafir. You think they're going to call you, mashallah, you're a very good Muslim? No, in their eyes, you are also kafir. I didn't give fatwas. I don't give fatwas because I am not a mufti. Alhamdulillah, you have very senior muftis here. I often say there are two types of muftis. One is a mufti, mashallah, who's a proper mufti. He's been to Darul Uloom, he studied, mashallah, under great muftis. And he's learned Quran and Hadith, he's been given authority, permission to give fatwa. There are other types who are mufti min al-muft. Al-mufti. In the UK we have supermarket. I don't know if you have supermarket here, like the one we have in UK. Every now and then they run offers. Buy one, get one free. You pay for one. Sometimes buy one to get two free. But and these mufti bin al mufti, you don't even ask them. You don't have to buy anything. They'll give you 10 free. Mufti bin al mufti. Oh, kafir, mushrik, kafir, bidah, jahannami, all the way to jahannam. If they had their way. You know, many people subcontract. Big companies subcontract. People think they've taken the contract to fill Jahannam from Allah. But don't worry, Allah Himself, Allah, this is a one contract Allah hasn't given anybody. Allah doesn't subcontract. Only people do it because they can't handle it. But Allah can handle everything. So Allah doesn't subcontract anything. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْسِلُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah Himself will judge. So Allah will judge. So these people, when they have no shame to declare Abu Bakr kafir, Umar kafir, Usman kafir, Talha kafir, Saad, Saeed, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Aisha, Hafsa kafir. So you think they got sympathy for you? This isn't emotional rant. This is reality. There hasn't been a single reputable Shia scholar in history who's written any reputable book in which he hasn't declared this filth and kufr. In my hand I have Hayatul Qulub, a book written by Mullah Bakir Majlisi, rather Mullah Bakir Majusi. And if you type on your smartphones, people aren't smart anymore because phones have become smart. Like they say, it's common sense, but common sense isn't so common anymore. MashaAllah. People's phones have become very smart and people say, oh, they just type in, they ask Sheikh Google. or sometimes Mufti Twitter. Allahu Akbar. You ask Sheikh Google, who is Mullah Baqir Majlisi? And Sheikh Google will tell you he was the most powerful Shia scholar of all times. And he, Mullah Baqir Majusi, has written this book. When you don't type Majusi, type Majlisi. But I am giving him another title. Mullah Baqir Majlisi has written many books. Hayatul Qulub is one of them. Volume 2, the Urdu version, page 923. Mullah Baqir Majlisi says, when Rasulullah passed away, Kajab. And again, Mullah Baqir Majusi said, this is not a da'if hadith, this is a sahih hadith, according to Shias. Ayashi ne bisanad mu'tabar Hazrat Imam Muhammad Baqir se riwayat ki hai ki jab Rasool Khuda sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne duniya se rehlat farmayi, char ashkhas Ali bin Abi Talib, Miqdad, Salman aur Abu Zar ke ilawa sab murtad ho gaye. This is their fundamental belief, to believe na'udhu billah that all sahaba became murtad. This isn't just a question of sahaba. This is a question of the integrity of Rasulullah. If in your masjid, madrasas, darul ulooms, any teacher is given a class of 100 students, he's given many years to teach them, and then after many years, you bring an external examiner, and he examines them, takes a test, and from a class of 100, only 4 students pass. And they were all handpicked with interview. You know, you ask for admission, they call you for an interview. So they want just off the street, just like that, kids. They passed the interview and they gained admission. 100 of the top selected students, you give them to a teacher to teach in a class many years. Then after many years, there's an exam. And only 4 pass, what will the headmaster say to the teacher? You are a? What sort of a teacher? Grand teacher? Rot, thank you, Aji Sahab, a rotten teacher. So if Rasulullah was given a class of 100,000 of the best people ever, the people Allah was happy with, Allah loved, and Rasulullah was given them to teach, and Rasulullah was given 23 years to teach them, and then everybody, 99,996 failed, became murtad, and only 4 passed. What does that say for Rasulullah? Nauzubillah. In their eyes, they are insulting Rasulullah. Not just insulting Sahaba. They are saying that Rasulullah didn't know what he was doing. He couldn't teach. He couldn't have things his way. He couldn't explain. He didn't teach anybody anything. That only 4. And they were the barakat of Hazrat Ali in any way. So in their eyes, Rasulullah didn't do anything. That's not a Nabi that we believe in. We believe in a Nabi who was special. Not just a Nabi for us. He was Nabiyul Anbiya. All prophets were given Nabuwat and Risalat on the condition لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ. Allah has mentioned in the Quran, وَقَدَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ نَبٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ. When I give you Nabuwat and Hikmat, and then comes my Nabi upon you, you will have to believe in him and help him. The Nabis were given Nabuwat on this condition, they will also believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if get an opportunity, help him as well. And they agreed, so Allah gave them Nabuwat. Rasulullah isn't just Nabi, he is Nabiyul Anbiya. Many prophets, they wanted to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because they were required to believe in him, Allah blessed them. Allah made a raj gathering, and then Allah gathered them all, and then Allah invited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, when people get together, friends, what do? Whatever they like doing. When they get together, then they do what they like. Young people like playing football, so when they get together, I don't know if in South Africa they play soccer. Do they play soccer? When youngsters get together, what do they like doing? They like playing soccer. You play soccer? prophets love worshipping Allah. So when they get together, they said, let's pray to Allah. MashaAllah. So who should be imam? All the prophets are there. Ibrahim Khalilullah, Musa Kalimullah, Isa Ruhullah, Dawood Khalifatullah. Adam alayhi salam, from Adam alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam, they were all there. A register was taken, everybody was present. And there's another guy, he says, I'm also a Nabi. But on that day when registration was taken, he was nowhere to be seen. You know who he was? Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, Lanatullahi alayhi. You know, when we say Musa, we say alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sahabi radiyallahu anhu. When Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayhi, Mirza Qadiani, lanatullahi alayhi. Because he was a liar, imposter, and those who are liars, lanatullahi al-kadhibin is a common known ayat. So don't be excited. Allahu Akbar. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Nabiyul Anbiya, 23 years, and only 4 should pass, because akal bhi cheez hai ke nahi hai. Like I said, common sense isn't common these days anymore. Allahu Akbar. So Shias, they believe in Allah is different. They believe in Rasulullah is different. They believe in Quran is different. So this is, you ask any Muslim, what are the fundamental beliefs of Muslims with regards to Allah? You ask any kafir even, what are the fundamentals of Islam? And even kafirs will tell you that Muslims believe in one Allah. They worship only Allah. And these Shias, they believe, they assign Allah's attributes to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet had mentioned this. Oh Ali, your example is like that of Isa alayhi salam. Two groups were ruined because of Isa alayhi salam. One group were those who hated him. وَبِكُفْرِهِمْ وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَى مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. They thought they had killed Isa alayhi salam because he committed apostasy, because he claimed, assigned wrong things. Isa alayhi salam never claimed anything out of place. Isa alayhi salam never claimed that he is Ibnullah. Rather, he always said, I am Abdullah. Even on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will summon Isa alayhi salam. Not just Isa alayhi salam, Allah will summon all prophets. يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلَ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ. Then Allah will separate Isa alayhi salam. He will have a special hearing on the day of Qiyamah. وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا إِسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أَقُولَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِحَقٍ. Ya Allah, how dare I say something to which I had no right to say what I did, what the people say to me. Isa alayhi salam never ever said these things, but people assigned them to him. Bani Israel, they thought he deserves to die. So they try to kill him in hatred of Isa alayhi salam. In the Nasara, they elevated him to a status Isa alayhi salam never ever claimed to own. So in his love, they elevated him. There was a moderate middle path who treated him like Abdullah, like Rasulullah. إِنَّمَا الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمَ وَرُوحٌ مِّنُهُ. Similarly, with regards to Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali himself, he said, in the most authentic book of Shias, is called Nahjul Balagha, which are sermons of Isa of Ali radiallahu anhu. Sermon number 127. As Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, وَسَيَهْلَكُ فِيَّ سِنْفَانِ. Two groups will be ruined, destroyed, doomed because of me. مُحِبٌّ مُفْرِتٌ. One who loves me overboard. يَذْهَبُ بِهِ الْحُبُّ إِلَى غَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And this love, my love, will lead them astray overboard. And then مُبْغِذٌ مُفْرِتٌ. One who hates me overboard, and this hatred of mine will lead them to ruin and destruction. And that's what happened. These Shias, they've elevated Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu to more than Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu ever claimed. Who gives life and death? Who deserves to be worshipped? When we are in problem, who do we pray to? Allah. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Here again, Jilaul Uyun. It's in the Urdu form. And if you have, well, it doesn't concern the public, but if there are ulama and they want to download iShia books, on Android, you can download this application, free Shia books. And Nahjul Balagha is in there. And Jilaul Uyun, Mullah Baqir Majlisi, all these Shia books are downloadable, free. In there, this is the Urdu version, volume 2, page 60. It is quoted that Ali radiallahu anhu, nauzubillah, he never ever made these claims, but Shias, they say he made these claims. He says, main wo zulqarnain hu, jiska zikr suhuf ula mein aaya hai, main khatim Suleiman ka malik hu, main yawm hisab ka malik hu, main sirat aur maidan hashr ka malik hu, main qasim jannat wa nar hu. Who will decide on the day of Qiyamah who will give Jannat and Jahannam? Allah. Shias, they say, Ali will decide. Shias, they say, Ali. We say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Then, Maliki Yawmiddin. Shias, they say, Hazrat Ali claimed, Main Yawmi Hisab Ka Malik Hoon. I am the owner of the day of judgment. So they regard him as God. And the Shias then say, Shias then say, when people are in problems, when the prophets were in problems, who did they pray to? Yunus alayhi salam in the stomach of the whale, who did he pray to? Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was in fire, who did he look up to? When Rasulullah was ever in problem, who did he pray to? What does Surah Fatiha say, who should we pray to? Shias, they say, this is page 66, from Jilaul Uyun, volume 2, in the Urdu version, Khatimun Nabijin ne arshad farmaya, that the Prophet said, and he never ever said this. Arshad farmaya, Saqi Hauz-e-Kausar, Mawla Ali alayhi salam hai, yani Quran ne jisko Rab kaha. Rab kaun hai? Who is Rab? Shia Mullah Baqir Majusi says, and Khomeini. Some say Imam Khomeini, I say Shaitan Khomeini. He's written that their religion and belief is just as Mullah Baqir Majlisi has written in his books. And this is Mullah Baqir Majlisi's book. Asks Mr. Smartphone Sheikh Google, who is Mullah Baqir Majlisi? And he'll tell you, the most powerful Shia scholar of all time. And here he says, and they are saying, lying, not saying, lying, that Rasulullah said, ke wo Saqiye Kausar Ali hai, jisko Rab kaha hai, wo Saqiye Kausar, yani Quran ne jisko Rab kaha, wo Saqiye Kausar Ali hai. Anbiya ne tabligh farmayi tauhid ki, maabood ki, aur Allah ki jab afat aayin, you know what that means? When they ran into problems, to pukara hai Rab Ali ko. When they were in problem, they used to pray to Ali. Ab bhi, he says, ab bhi masaib mein pukarna apne apne halat ke tahat Ali ko sunnat-e-anbiya hai aur Quran-e-Pak hai. He's saying, lying, deceiving, fooling, cheating, deceiving, that now the Quran says, and sunnat of all the prophets to say, that when someone is in problem, then you should pray to Ali. Na'uzu billah min dhalik. Innahu man yushrik billah faqad harrama Allah alayhi al-jannata wa ma'wahu an-nar wa ma lizalimin min ansar. When people, when they make shirk, then Allah doesn't care. Allah said to even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in ashrakta wa laqad uhiya ilayka wa ila alladhina min qablika, la in ashrakta la yahbatanna 'amaluka wa la takunanna min al-khasirin. Oh my beloved Prophet, even if you were to commit shirk, I will ruin all your deeds as well. Not that Rasulullah na'uzubillah was ever going to commit shirk, but Allah is telling us, if I can tell my beloved Prophet this, who the hell are you? So watch it and be careful, don't ever commit shirk. And then Mullah Baqir Majusi says about they believe, we believe Rasulullah isn't just a Rasul of Allah. We believe he is Khatamun Nabiyyin, Rahmatul Lil Alameen. There is no more prophet to come after him. Shias, they say, we believe Rasulullah is prophet. But after Rasulullah, they say there were 12 Imams. And they all received revelation. No one can worship Allah. No one can please Allah. No one can be close to Allah except with through these Imams. And the Shias believe this again, page 20, Jilaul Ujun, volume 2, Urdu version. And he says that, plus Janabe Amir Ali radiallahu anhu, or Digar Ahle Baiti Rasul bi, not just Ali radiallahu anhu, but other descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Misle Rasul bi qawl is ayat ke wali hain, or tamam anbiya se afzal hain. They believe in 12 Imams, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Hassan, Hazrat Hussein, Zainul Abidin, Imam Baqir, Imam Jafar Sadiq, Musa Kazim, Ali Raza, Muhammad Taqi, Ali Naki, Hassan Askari, and the Mahdi, whom they vanished at the age of 5. He's been missing and absent. His file has been reported to the police station, but they're still looking for him. He vanished at the age of 5, 1100 years. They're still looking for him and haven't found him. They hope to find him before Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. They believe these 12 Imams, tamam anbiya se afzal hain. اگر نبوت اور رسالت ختم نہ ہوتی تو یہ بارے کے بارہ ائمہ آل بیت نبی اور رسول ہوتے. So indirectly they are saying they are not rasools, but it doesn't really matter because they are still better than rasools. So if Qadianis are kafir and they are kafir, the kufr of Qadianis is a one nabi, Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, lanatullahi alayhi. The Shias, their kufr is 12 times worse. 12 times worse. So we believe in Allah. We believe in Rasulullah. And all, even non-Muslims will tell you, the most important source of our knowledge is what? Holy book of Muslims is? The Christians, they said the Bible of Muslims is Quran. It's not our Bible. Quran is our Quran. Kalamullah. How many verses in the Quran? Roughly? 6,000 verses. Allah has promised, Inna nahnu nazzal dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. I have revealed it, Maulana was saying as well, and I am responsible for it. When Allah used to send Quran upon Rasulullah, just as if you've seen any children becoming hafiz, mashallah, they beg it away. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillah. Mashallah. When Rasulullah would receive revelation, Rasulullah would hasten as well, repeat revelation, so that it will be committed to his memory. Allah said, my dear Prophet, don't worry. لا تعجل بالقرآن من قبل أن يقضى إليك وحي. Don't worry about it. لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Don't move your tongue with the Quran. It's not your problem. This is not your responsibility. Inna alayna jama'ahu wa Qur'ana. This is my responsibility, Allah says. سنقرئك فلا تنسى. I will teach you, make you read, you will never ever forget. So Quran is whose kalam? Whose responsibility? Allah's responsibility. First line of Quran after Surah Fatiha. Alif Lam Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. No doubt, nothing added, nothing subtracted. Every vowel, you know what a vowel means? زَبَرْ زَيْرْ پَيْشْ. Every zabar, zair, pesh is divinely protected. Every zabar, zair, pesh of every letter, of every word, of every verse, of every surah is under divine protection. Bal wa Quran majidun fi lawhim mahfuz. It's under divine guarantee protection. But the Shias, they say, this is Usul-e-Kafi. Usul-e-Kafi is a fundamental book of Shias. There was another man, you got smartphones, mashallah. Put down Yaqub Kulaini. Yaqub Kulaini. And Mr. Google, Sheikh Google, Mufti Google will say to you, he is the only Shia scholar in the history who's been given the title Thiqqa. Thiqqa, solid. So everything he said is proper and solid. In 1100 years of Shia history, there hasn't been another scholar like Yaqub Kulaini. And this is his book. And he claimed, lied, Shiaism is based on lying. In fact, 90% of Shiaism is lying. It's the only religion in the world. Even Hindus, they will tell you it's no good to lie. But in Shias, it's ibadat. And 90% of the swab is in lying. Lying and cheating. It's the only religion in the world in which swearing is ibadat, lying is ibadat, and zina is ibadat. I don't know, it's already 9:30. I don't know how long you can stay. But Yaqub Kulaini says, when the 12th Imam vanished, and they had filed in his report and the police station is missing. When he vanished, I'm saying this because there was no 12th Imam. Imam Hassan Askari Rahmahullah, who was the 11th, Shia say he was the 11th Imam, but he was a proper Sunni, descendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All these Imams, they say, were Imams. They never ever claimed the sort of Imamat Shias assigned to them. They were all pious. Imam Hassan Askari Rahmahullah, he didn't have a son. So the Shias gave him a son, but because he didn't have one, so they had to vanish him, kidnap him very quickly, and then file in a missing report. So he's missing because, wallah. So they say, and then what happened? Yaqub Kulaini made up a story. The story was, he went looking for him, and he found him. But he didn't come and tell the police he found him. He found him hiding in a cave. So he went up to him, paid respects. And then the Imam said, this missing 5-year-old Imam, he said to him, "Oh Yaqub, go back and write a book. And write such a book which will be sufficient." And then Yaqub Kulaini went back. For many years he started writing and wrote a book. And then when he came back, he said to the Imam, "Imam Sahab, what you said, I've done. This is the book I've written." And then in the preface, you know, when you have a preface, in the preface to Usul-e-Kafi, he said, he presented it to the Imam, and أَنَّهُ عَرَضَ عَلَى الْقَائِمِ صَلَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فَاسْتَحْسَنَهُ وَقَالَ هَذَا كَافٌ لِشِيَاتِنَا, that this is sufficient for our Shias. So everything in here is supposed to be approved by the Imam, who is supposed to be infallible, قَائِم, the one to fill the world with justice, the one Shias have been waiting for 1100 years. So if anybody says, "No, we don't believe," you're a liar because your Imam has proven this. So either you are lying or the Imam is supposedly lying. So Imam says, "Hada kafun li shiatina," this is enough, well done. He gave him 5 stars. And in there, there's a narration, page 634, volume 2, Usul-e-Kafi. Inna al-Quran alladhi ja'a bihi Jibreel ila Muhammad. That the Quran Jibreel had brought upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many verses in the real Quran? 6,000 and so. And he says, 17,000 verses. So it wasn't 30 siparas, it was probably 90 siparas. 6,000 is almost a third of 17,000. So if two-thirds is missing, we've got 30 siparas. So if two-thirds is missing, the Quran he supposedly took with him, 90 siparas. No wonder Shias can't become a Hafiz. They've got two-thirds missing. Last year there was a conference in London, Khatm al-Nubuwwat conference. And I put out a challenge. And I didn't put out a challenge. And like they say, you put the gun on somebody else's shoulder. I put the gun on Hazrat Nanotvi rahmatullah alayhi's shoulder. Hazrat Nanotvi has written a book. It's called Hadiyatul Shia. Hazrat Nanotvi rahmatullah alayhi. Do you know who he was? Bani of Darul Uloom Deoband. And alhamdulillah, we are Deobandis. And next time you anybody says to you, don't be scared. Say proudly, alhamdulillah, we are Deobandis. Our ulama were ulama of haq, ulama of Ahlus Sunnah. They never compromised their principles. They never put their head down in front of anybody. They put their lives at stake, but they did put their head down. The British sent trained missionaries to propagate Christianity. They sent the Archbishop of Canterbury. You know Archbishop of Canterbury? Mufti Azam of Christians. Mufti Azam Christians. Christians have two main sects, Catholics and Anglicans. The Catholics, their Mufti Azam is in Rome. They are called Roman Catholics. The British are Anglicans. Their head office is in UK, Canterbury. The big Jamia is Canterbury, a cathedral of Canterbury, and the Mufti Azam of Christians is based in there. 1824, when he visited India, India was a crown, it was a jewel in the empire. All the expenses for the expansion of British Empire, they sucked out of India. India had been a prosperous civilization for over 1,000 years. There was any unemployment, there was no problem. The British created all the problem. And now, mashallah, all the Indians are there, they're signing and just taking benefit. They're making up for lost time. They don't work, stay at home, and mashallah, the government pays for the rent, child benefit. If they just work a few hours, they top it up. Mashallah. Free medicine, free housing, free schooling, free everything, mashallah. The Indians they are clocking it. Mashallah. Not clocking it, they're rinsing it. Mashallah. So in 1824, the British sent trained missionaries to India, and the Archbishop went there. He said, "We, the British, control India. We run the government, we run the country. We control everything, so it's only right all Indians should become Christians as well." And they said, "We want to create a nation of Indians who look black or brown and who look like Indians but think like Indians, Christians, and live like Christians." Not only Muslims, Hindus and Sikhs were worried as well. And Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmahullah, he used to be so skinny. He didn't even used to wear a turban, long kurta. He would wear something moderate, lungi. You know lungi is? Lungi, and mashallah, like a stick. But when he would go, Allahu Akbar, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahimahullah. And the fact you sitting here is barakat of that Marde Kalandar. He'd seen, when he was young, standing on top of Baytullah. Dream, many selfies. Many brothers are very allergic. They're even allergic to dreams. The Deobandis have no shame. Qasim Nanotvi standing on Baytullah. Brothers, for God's, for Allah's sake, it's only a dream. But even in dreams, you stand on top of Baytullah. Well, anytime a selfie has a dream, he was having a nice time in his dream, the next morning you should flog him. A married man who's a ghair muqallad selfie had a nice dream. He was having time of his life. In the morning, stone him to death. So there's no more selfies produced. It's only a dream, for God's sake. Dreams are in the Quran. Hazrat Nanotvi had a dream. He was standing on top of Baytullah. Allahu Akbar. And from his fingers and toes, streams flowing in all directions. He mentioned his dream to his teacher, Maulana Mamluk Ali Rahmahullah. And Hazrat said, "O Qasim, many Mubaraks, Allah will take such work from you. Allah will revive the knowledge of deen in all parts of the world through you." And then Hazrat, later on, many years passed, he established Darul Uloom Deoband. 15th of Muharram, 1866. One student, Mahmood Hassan, one teacher, Mullah Mahmood, and not just in the shade of the masjid, in the forecourt under a tree. Hazrat used to stay in Meerut. He used to work in a printing press. And he didn't like limelight. He organized everything. Mullah Mahmood Rahimahullah used to work in Meerut as well. So he said to him, "Hazrat, if we were to give you the same pay you're getting here in Deoband, in your hometown, will you agree to go and teach there?" He said, "Why not?" So he agreed and he sent Mullah Mahmood back to Deoband. And he came and settled there. One of his friends, Sheikh Zulfiqar Rahimahullah, had a son. His name was Mahmood Hassan. And so he said, "I will present my son, number one." He's number one in Deoband, mashallah. And Mullah Mahmood started teaching Mahmood, the young junior Mahmood. And mashallah, that Mahmood became Mahmood. Mashallah, became Sheikh al-Hind. And people like Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Mufti Kifayatullah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, Anwar Shah Kashmiri, MashaAllah. And likes of such people were all his students. So you can imagine what a sheikh he was. He wasn't called Sheikh ul-Hind for nothing. And 1875, the British organized a religious festival in which they invited all people from all over India, representatives of all religions, to come and put forward an argument in defense of their religion. But they knew Hindus and Sikhs and haven't got a leg to stand on. How are you going to defend a monkey with 12 arms? So they knew they haven't got a leg to stand on. Many years ago in England, there was a case of, because they make these statues of chalk, of limestone. So limestone, it absorbs liquid, you pour something. So one day one Hindu did something and he poured some milk and he saw that his idol, his god, the monkey with 12 arms, had sucked in some milk. So he put it on the air. Oh, God is drinking milk. Thousands of Hindus brought milk bottles to feed the God. Allah, how are you going to defend such a God? So they knew Hindus hadn't got a leg to stand on, but they really wanted Muslims and Christians to have a showdown. So they sent their trained missionaries to come and debate. The Hindus just said, all right, we'll just relax. And the Christians are challenging, come on. And proved your prophet Muhammad is a prophet. Nobody could stand up. Hazrat came forward. Hazrat came and he shut him up in such a way. Hindu said, Maulviji, he is the Maulviji. He wasn't talking from here. He was talking from here. Maulviji, you might be Muslim, but you still an Indian. And you've done us proud today, Maulviji. Even the Hindus were proud of Maulana Qasim Rahmatullahi Alayhi for shutting up the Christians. Pandit Dhyanath Saraswati, he said to the Hindus, all these Muslims, that's how they used to address Muslims. All these Muslims, their ancestors were Hindus and their kings converted them. So now bring them back to Hinduism. And this then eventually laid the foundation of Pakistan, but that's another story. So Maulana Qasim Nanotvi, he chased him. And he would go and say, oh, you Muslims, if you dare come and debate with me. So anybody would say, he goes, sit down, man. What are you, nothing? If you, at the end of the day, you just going to say, I'll bring Maulvi Qasim because you can't face me. So why don't you just bring Maulvi Qasim? Hazrat was ill and he couldn't travel. And then what happened? When Hazrat was told that this pundit is getting out of hand, he needs to be sorted out. Hazrat said, no problem, I'll come. Hazrat was ill 3 days, Bukhar fever, but Hazrat didn't care. He came. It was a question of the honor of Islam. And he came. And when this pundit heard, because he knew Maulana was ill, so he was boasting and shouting, bring Maulvi Qasim if you dare. Because at the end of the day, you'd all say, oh, we could handle you, but Maulvi Qasim can handle you. So bring Maulvi Qasim now. He knew Maulvi Qasim Sahib is ill. So when Maulana heard, he's just boasting. So Hazrat didn't care. In Bukhar, Hazrat came. And when Hazrat came and Pandit Dhyanath Saraswati heard, Maulvi Qasim is here, he packed up his bag and ran away. So our ulama, alhamdulillah, never shied away. We don't go out looking for trouble. But if trouble comes your way, then we don't back out either. And this was our elders, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, and Deoband has produced not just muftis and muhaddis and mufassir and just teachers. And Deoband has produced what it takes, whatever it takes, we are ready. So alhamdulillah, you are the sons of Deoband. So next time anybody says to you anything, don't they be taken back. Alhamdulillah. And they made the British eat those, chane, chickpeas. Chickpeas are normally soft. But they say, lohe ke chane chabane pade. They had to eat chickpeas of iron. And how are you going to chew those chickpeas? Allahu Akbar. And they had a plan, wa makaru wa makarallah, wallahu khairul makirin. They had a plan and Allah had a plan. Allah is the best of the planners. And now, mashallah, And they wanted to make the Indians Christians, and now the Christians are becoming Muslims, mashallah. 2,000 plus Muslims, mashallah, there. Then Hazrat established Darul Uloom Deoband. 6 months later, Mazahirul Uloom. Then other Darul Ulooms. Then when Pakistan was made, Mufti Shafi Saab, Maulana Yusuf bin Nori Saab, Jamia Sharifiya Lahore, Akwada Khatak, Peshawar. Presently, this year alone, in the last days of Ramadan, one of Pakistan's Syrian ulamas, Qari Hanif Jalandri from Khairul Madaris, one of the senior, one of the main madrasas in Pakistan, Khairul Madaris in Multan. He is the Nazim-e-Ala, or the chief executive of Wafaqul Madaris, which is a body of all madrasas affiliated with Deobandi Madaris. And Hazrat came over and I asked him, Hazrat, how many people this year graduated from Deobandi madrasas? Others just talk, mashallah, And Hazrat said, this year alone, from Deobandi madrasas only in Pakistan, 60,000 students gave examination for the completion of Hifzul Quran. And Wafaqul Madaris issued them with certificates to guarantee and prove that they've not just memorized it, they've memorized it, they've been examined and approved. 60,000. Those affiliated officially, those unofficial local masjids, mashallah, even more. And Hazrat said, this year 25,000 students only in Pakistan, Deobandi madrasas, they gave their final examination of Dawra Hadith and passed, and Wafaqul Madaris issued them with sanads, 24,946. 54 less than 25,000. He said 15,000 girls and 10,000 boys. Just only in Pakistan. And if you put India, mashallah, Deoband, Mazahirul Uloom, mashallah, Dabil, and others, and others, and others, and then join with Bangladesh as well, Tara Hazari, the Deoband of India, then mashallah, just in Deobandi madrasas, more people learn hadith, fiqh, tafsir, Arabic, Sarf, Nahv, than all the rest of the world put together. And when, mashallah, many of your elders came here, started Darulum, mashallah, Zakaria, Azadville, Newcastle, Durban, I don't even know the names, mashallah, all these sons of the sons of the sons of Darul Uloom Deoband. Alhamdulillah. And then when Muslims went to England, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, one of the few remaining khulafa, was the Sheikh Rahmatullah Alay, established Darul Uloom in Bolton in Bury. And then one of the Sheikh's khulafas went to America, Buffalo, Dr. Ismail Sahib, established Darul Uloom there. Now, mashallah, Canada, Zambia, Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib, many of you probably know, probably used to come and visit here frequently as well. Mashallah, all sons of the sons of the sons of Darul Uloom Deoband. So you got something to be proud about. And don't shy away. Oh, we are Deobandi. Oh, what Sahaba Deobandis? What Sahaba Salafis? What Sahaba Salafis? No. So Deobandi is just your sanad. It just shows, mashallah, that you have been given deen from these special ulama, who are ulama of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Deobandis are not Qadianis. They are not Shias. They are not Baha'is. They are not Ghair Muqallad. They are not Salafis. They are Sunnis. Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ulama of Haqq. So your teachers are ulama of Haqq. Of ulama of Ahlu Sunnah, because so you are Ahlu Sunnah. So this is your sanad, this is your chain, this is your security. Don't be ashamed, be proud. Alhamdulillah. And the oldest existing institution, even in Makkah today, Madrasa Salatiyah, was set up by the associates of Darul Uloom Deoband. And to this day, it was set up in the 1880s. And today, until today, it's functional, Madrasa Salatiyah. It used to be, many of you go, mashallah. I know many brothers from South Africa stay in Darut Tawheed, mashallah. As you come out of Haram, Darut Tawheed is in front, on the right-hand side, where now presently, until last year at least, when I went, they had the Septico bus stand. That's where Madrasa Salatiyah used to be. Now, because of expansion, They've given them an alternative site outside Makkah, on the outskirts of Makkatul Mukarrama. So Madrasa Solatia in Makkatul Mukarrama, Ulama-e Deoband have been teaching deen for more than 130 years. University Ummul Qura just came out yesterday. Medina University has only been there 20-30 years. Madinatul Munawwara, 1921, brother of Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi Deobandi, Maulana Ahmad Hassan, established Jami Ulum Shariya. And until the 1980s, Madrasa Ulum Shariya used to give education to people of Medina. The teachers were all Deobandis. Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Thumma Alhamdulillah. This is an honor for the ulama of Deoband, a tribute to their sincerity and goodness and piety. Allahu Akbar. So I was saying, these British people, they had a plan that they wanted to establish Christianity there. But Allah had another plan. Allah brought the Muslims there, mashallah. And then now in Canada, Australia, everywhere, sons of Darul Ulum Deoband are now preaching deen, teaching hadith, tafsir, all ulums of knowledge. Alhamdulillah. And keeping the ummah alive. And tablighi jamaat, mashallah. Mashallah. Sons of Darul Ulum Deoband, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he was also a son of Darul Ulum Deoband. Worldwide, since the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there hasn't been a single revolution in Islam which has catered and spread throughout the world, from the east to the west and the north and the south. 1400 years, and I'm saying this with responsibility. If anybody can prove me wrong, I'll happily accept it. 1400, there has been nothing as global as Tablighi Jamaat, mashallah. And there are people, they're benefiting from Fiji Island, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Indonesia, Malaysia, all over Russia and Asia, Africa, America, North America, South America. Hardly a community, a city where Alhamdulillah Jamaat brothers don't go and don't grow gushed on every street. And this is all fazl of Allah. Even Makkatul Mukarrama. Alhamdulillah, Jamaat brothers in Haram, outside Haram, in Makkah and Medina. I'm sure many Jamaats have come here from Makkah and Medina. They've been coming to England as well. They go all over. This is a sign of qubuliyat in the eyes of Allah, that Allah has accepted this effort. And this honor also goes into the account of Ulama-e Deoband. So Ulama-e Deoband want to unite the ummah, and then others want to divide the ummah. So they say, you don't know what is aqeedah. Let us teach you aqeedah. I challenge any Salafi, if he is the son of his father, come forward, show me the word aqeedah in Quran or Hadith. Not a single place in the Quran, in the Quran is that word aqeedah used. Rasulullah never ever used the word aqeedah. Sahaba never used the word aqeedah. So, it's all bidah. So if that's bidah, well, everything is bidah. So people think, oh, they don't know. What do those Deobandis know? Alhamdulillah, Ulama-e Deoband have knowledge, taqwa, piety, ikhlas, running through every cell in their body. Alhamdulillah. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Fear Allah and join the truthful people. And they are truthful people, alhamdulillah. But anyway, I was saying, Ulama-e Deoband have never shied away from a challenge. Whenever there's been a challenge, they've risen to the challenge. And Allah has blessed them, Allah has helped them, Allah has given them victory wherever they have gone. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَىٰ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. But I was saying, and I proved to you from their books, if anybody wants to see, I also wanted to talk a bit about Muta. It's plaguing South Africa, and it's plaguing Europe and America. And the Shias are misleading, corrupting, deceiving, fooling, preying on the innocence of Muslim Sunni girls and saying, oh man, why do you want a boyfriend, girlfriend? It's haram. Boyfriend, girlfriend is haram. So what's the solution? Just do muta. Just do muta and enjoy yourselves. Allah knows, Allah has given us. Have you got 5 minutes more? If you want, I'll stop. If you want, just five, ten minutes. Just to tell you about what's muta. It's quite interesting. Allah has placed this urge in every man. One of the strongest urge in a man is for a woman. And it's such a strong urge. It's very, mashallah, makes you feel you're on top of cloud nine. And Allah's put it there for a purpose, so that you will pursue this desire, so that your race will continue. If Allah didn't put this desire there, people wouldn't want to get married. Too much problem. Some people say single and loving it. MashaAllah. But marriage is a very important part of life. Sunnah of all the prophets. Allah has put this desire there, and this is the ultimate pleasure in life. Not just in this world, even when you get to Jannah. Over there, MashaAllah, 40 years non-stop. But in here, in this world even, it's immense pleasure. It's so, that desire is so powerful, sometimes people can lose their sense, and in order to pursue this, they can even commit severe crime. One of the most severe crimes in any society is rape. And when people commit rape, they follow it up with murder as well. Many a times rape is followed up by murder. So Allah knows, so Allah has allowed us. This desire is there. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ. You are a man grown up now. يَا مَاشَرَ الْشَبَابِ مَنْ إِسْتَطَى مِنْكُمْ الْبَاءِ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ. Get married. In every society, the right way, get married. Even in these, I don't know the name of different tribes in South Africa, but I know about Zulus. Even Zulus get married, mashallah. A marriage is a public affair, mashallah. A man sends a young man on his behalf, his father, uncle go to the girl's house, they propose. The father of the girl accepts or rejects, but when they agree, it's a public affair. Mashallah, invitations are dished out, bookings are made, food is cooked, people are invited, presents are given, congratulations dished out. Happy, everyone's rejoicing, rejoicing, mashallah, mubarak, mubarak, mubarak. And the man who's getting married, his smile doesn't stop. Mashallah. And then, illa ala azwajihim, you're getting married. This has been the sunnah of all the nabis. This is the way it's done in every community all over the world. But in the Arab culture at the time, they also, and in many parts of the world, they had female slaves. And so they would please themselves with their female slaves as well. And Quran has upheld many traditions which existed at the time amongst Arabs. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. Whatever you own with your right hand, implying female slaves, and they are also lawful, permissible. Not anymore, there isn't anymore, so don't go looking for one. Now, you got marriage. MashaAllah, you think you need more than one? No problem, 2, 3, 4 permissible. Providing you can treat them equally. And when there is a case, when there is a need, a young man, his father approaches the girl's family and puts forward a proposal. If you don't mind, I have a nice son, MashaAllah, just graduated from Azadville. He's very pious, MashaAllah. And Qari Hafiz Saab looking for a bride, mashallah. We've heard Allah's blessed you with a daughter. No problem. I always wanted a Hafiz Ali Maulana Qari for my daughter, mashallah. Welcome. So mashallah, proceedings take place. Nikah is performed. Witnesses are all there. This is what's called a nikah. And a nikah, what it does, Allah has referred to nikah in the Quran, the married people as muhsineen. Muhsineen, the root word is from Hisan. Hisan is a castle. In castle, people become safe. It's a fort, guarded, protected. When the enemy attacks, if you're in a castle, you are well guarded, well protected. Shaitan is your enemy, wants to kill you, ruin you. Allah has commanded in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الْفَوَاحِشِ. Don't go anywhere near indecency. And one of the most immoral, indecent thing is zina. So Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't go anywhere near zina. Instead of zina, there is nikah. Make nikah. So nikah is performed. And nikah, it protects you. Whenever you go out, mashallah, you see someone nice, you become crazy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a man goes out, he's impressed by something, there's something brewing inside, mashallah, go straight home. Burst the bubble. Otherwise, it'll cook in and make you crazy. Then when you burst the bubble, you're safe, no problem. Then shaitan, he leaves because you've done the job. This is your wives. Illa ala azwajihim aw ma malakat aymanuhum. But in its place, there's been a very, very old profession. In history, they say the oldest profession is, anybody know? Prostitution. You know what prostitution is? A man secretly. In nikah, there's permission of the wali, agreement, mehr, witnesses. MashaAllah, Maulana Sahib comes and performs nikah and so on. In prostitution, there's only two things. No wali, no witnesses, just a secret deal. Name the price, name the time. fixed price. In Usul Kafi again, is supposed to be approved by the 12th Imam. So no Shia, son of his father, can deny what's in here because the Imam has proved. And there, page 448, volume 5, Abwabul Muta. This is a favorite Shia topic. They love it. Day and night, they can't get enough. Abwab. They can't get enough, so I thought you must have some as well. Abwabul Muta, page 448. Can you see that? Abwabul Muta. And in there, on page 400, and then 55, Shurutul Muta, conditions for Muta. And he says, An Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, which is Imam Jafir Sadiq, qal, La takunu muta'atun illa bi amrain. Muta is not valid except with two conditions. Only two conditions in Muta. Ajlum musamma wa ajrum. Ajalum musamma wa ajrum musamma. Fixed time, fixed price. What's that? And then it says in here as well, marriage, how many are you allowed? You want four? Will you be able to handle four? Many people can't even handle one. Allahu Akbar. And somebody asked the Imam, how many are you allowed? And if it's nikah, how many women can you marry at a time? At a time you can marry four. But how many prostitutes can you visit? If anybody's in the game. And Imam Jafar Sadiq was asked, and قال ذكرت له المتى أهي من الأربع فقال تزوج منهن ألفا فإنهن مستأجرات. No problem, don't worry about four, you can get even 1,000 if you want. Enjoy yourself even with thousands, no problem, just pay them the price. And fix a deal, make a deal, fix price, fix time. And for that, you don't need any wali. يتزوج منهن كم شاء وصاحب الأربع نسوة يتزوج منهن ما يشاء بغير. This is page 451. يتزوج منهن ما شاء بغير ولي ولا شهود. No wali, no witness, just fixed time, fixed price, secret deal. In every society, in every language, what's that? Prostitution. Now, if in other Shia books, it gives you a lot of good fazail, so virtues. Rafsanjani was the former Iranian president. He's on record for saying Muta is the solution to all social problems. Anybody got a problem? Muta. You got a problem? Had a problem, argument, wife? MashaAllah, Muta. Any other problem? Got an argument with your son? Muta. Whatever your issue, Muta is the solution to all social problems. And the supposed imams used to encourage people, make as much Muta as you can because it's so wonderful. And it's not fitting, in another Shia narration, it's not fitting for any Muslim to die and he hasn't done Muta. And this is Shiaism. Like I said, it's the only religion in the world in which lying is good, swearing is good, and zina is good. And you know, when a man needs to do a muta, he's not going to do just on his own over another man, is he? He's going to find himself another man. In the West, they do that now, mashallah. In South Africa, HIV plus is a big problem. I was showing the brothers a link. They were telling me, it's an old link, but 2, 3, 4 years ago, one South African pastor, he came up with a solution because HIV is a big problem. You know what HIV is? AIDS. started with gays, but now it's got out of control. So it's mega big problem. 7 million presently HIV positive. So this vicar, Christian priest, he came up with the solution. The solution was, let's make Jesus gay as well. Astaghfirullah, na'uzu billah. It's on the BBC website. Maulana, I showed you the link. If anybody wants to see, we'll send him a link. Get in touch with Maulana. 7 million people, let's make Jesus gay, na'uzu billah, as well. Allahu Akbar. So a man, if he wants to do a muta, he needs another man or a woman. And if muta is rewarding for a man, when a man gets married, proper marriage, he gets swab. A woman getting married, she also gets swab or no? She gets swab as well, huh? MashaAllah, when a woman becomes pregnant, is expecting for every night in pregnancy, she gets the reward as though she's done the whole night in ibadah. Every day she's pregnant, she gets the swab as though she's fasting every day. When the child is born, if she dies in that state, she dies as a shaheed. Every drop of milk she feeds, Allah gave us so much reward. So marriage is rewarding for men and for... So if muta is rewarding for men, should it not be rewarding for women either? Should it not be for rewarding for women as well? Huh? So if the Shia imams, they promote muta, which they are doing. BBC did a report on muta on Shias. And BBC doesn't report on local gossip. BBC only reports on international affairs. They did a report. Shias are promoting muta aggressively. And Shias are preying on Sunni girls, on your daughters, on your sisters, your granddaughters who go to universities, work in banks, in these multinational companies where Shias are bosses. They are preying upon them. They are saying, why you want a boyfriend, girlfriend? Let's get together. Just name your price, name your time, and let's go. Your daughters are being ruined, destroyed, humiliated, disgraced because these Shias are preying upon them, fooling them into thinking muta is halal. Well, if his muta is halal for men, it should also be halal for women. Huh? So if the imams were encouraging people to make muta, once some person came to an imam, Imam Baqir, on page 449 of Usul-e-Kafi, approved by imam, and he said, he asked him, Imam, you telling us to make muta with other people's women. If somebody came and made muta with your women folk, هل يسرك أن نساؤك وبناتك وأخواتك وبنات عمك يفعلنا؟ Will you be happy if the women in your house, نساؤك, your women folk, your daughters, your sisters, وبنات عمك, your female cousins, if they all did muta, will it make you happy? And it says, فأعرض عنه أبو جعفر. Imam Baqir, he was so disgusted, he turned his face around. So if it's permissible for men, why is it not permissible for the women of these imams? It's not permissible because it's haram, haram, haram. The Shias, they say, well, this used to happen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The muta which used to take place in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a different muta. It was a muta, it was nikah. A nikah with the permission of the wali in front of witnesses. With mahar, with responsibility. If the woman becomes pregnant, the man takes responsibility for the child. And while he was married to the woman, it wasn't for 1 hour or 1 day. When Sahaba used to travel in different places, they weren't any holiday inns and intercontinentals. They used to travel, stay with people, and they had luggage and so on. So they would engage in a temporary marriage with the permission of the family. Give mahar, take responsibility, but for a fixed time. And this was a culture which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at his own accord did not prohibit. Rasulullah would wait for Allah's command to come down to make something unlawful or lawful. Just as, didn't Muslim used to drink before? It's in the Quran. Maulana Sahib, come on man, in the Quran it says it's good. What are you talking about? I work in a multinational company, and I attend meetings, parties, and other people drink, so can I drink as well? Why? Why you want to drink? Because in the beginning, Sahaba used to drink. Sahaba used to drink. But when it was made haram, then it was made haram. And never ever since then has any mufti, well, at least in a right frame of mind and iman, has never ever given the fatwa of alcohol being halal. Gambling. In the UK, we have a national lottery. All over the country, people purchase a ticket for a pound. Millions of people, tens of millions. And if nobody wins the jackpot, it rolls on to the next week. If nobody wins, rolls on to the next week. Sometimes 4 or 5 weeks lapse, nobody wins. So somebody said, Maulana, can I purchase a ticket for the rollover? 70 million, I'll give half to the masjid. Haram is haram. They used to gamble, but when it was made haram, then it's haram. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanib, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. إنما الخمر والميسر والأنساب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوا. It's haram now. Nobody can give fatwa for it being halal. So what was halal before, once made haram, nobody ever went anywhere near it. This muta was initially upheld. Rasulullah allowed it, permitted it until Khaybar. On the day of Khaybar, Rasulullah made it haram. But in those days, there were no BBMs. Many people have groups, 4,000 or 5,000, mashallah. One message goes 4,000 or 5,000 people. But there were no BBMs. Rasulullah announced, some people heard, some didn't hear. Those who heard became aware, refrained. Those who didn't carried on. And according to some ulama, they carried on until Fath Makkah. And on the Fath Makkah, Rasulullah again said that muta is haram ila yawm al-qiyamah. Until qiyamah it is haram. Some people still didn't find out. Those who didn't find out carried on. In the time of Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Umar ensured, he took enough measures to ensure everybody becomes aware muta is haram, haram, haram. Hazrat Umar didn't make it haram. Rasulullah made it haram. Initially in Khaybar and then on Fath Makkah. Some ulama say Rasulullah made it haram in Khaybar, then only for a few days made it permissible on the day of Fath Makkah, and then announced now it is haram till Qiyamat. So Hazrat Umar didn't make it haram. Hazrat Umar just enforced it and implemented it and made it aware to all the public that muta is haram till the day of Qiyamat. But that muta wasn't like this, fixed price, fixed time, deal, no wali, no witnesses. Just, you ready with me? Let's go home. Let's go to the hotel rather, because he's not going to bring her home, is he? And then what happened? If muta is halal for men, then it should also be halal for women, no? If somebody has a daughter, Maulana sahab or anybody, mashallah, then what he does usually, he might be a simple Sufi sahab, just come to the masjid, puts out a word, Maulana sahab, somebody, sahab, if you know some decent girl for my boy, he's mashallah, just graduated, if you know someone, then please, you know, put us a word, we'll arrange a marriage. Is that how they do it here as well? They do that everywhere in the world like that, no problem. And sometime someone has a girl, he says, my girl has become a alima as well, mashallah, or whatever, she's become 17, 18, 19, 20, and I want to make marriage for her. If you know some decent boy, do let me know. They said, no problem, I'll keep an eye out. But wallahi lazim, if the Shia Zakirs, if they regard muta to be halal, and even imam of a masjid will feel no shame in saying to someone, I have a daughter, please keep your eye out. When you know somebody decent, inshallah, let me know, inshallah, may Allah relieve me of my responsibility and my daughter goes to her house so that she can live a happy life. Will he feel shamed? If somebody comes to his house, he's the man sent somebody, Maulana, Haji Saab told me, Haji Abdullah Patel Saab told me, in England there are many other Patels, there are Hindus, but mashallah, many Patels here are Muslim, mashallah. And Haji Abdullah Patel said, he sent me that, mashallah, you've got a daughter. Maulvi Saab will probably welcome in, come in, come in, come in, mashallah. He might agree, might not agree. But when you go to his house, he won't, how dare you come to my, who the hell you are, you think? People go to their houses many times, people agree many times, they don't, no problem. But any Shia Zakir with a daughter will never ever say to his community, I can see many young, mashallah, handsome, eager men. Anybody want a muta, come to my house. I have a daughter, mashallah, come. And you can enjoy yourself. or better, any Shia Zakir say to his community, I have a sister, she has become a widow. Many girls, you know, for whatever reason, sometimes their fault, sometimes not their fault, sometimes she is pushing her luck, sometimes the boy is pushing her luck, they don't agree, make the luck. No problem, not good, but they go their separate ways. Next time somebody comes with a proposal for her, he will say, well, my daughter, my sister, what she is divorced. If you want, we can agree to talk further and agree something. If not, then up to you. You think somebody will do that? But if a Shia Zakir had a daughter, she's done muta 10 times. Somebody comes, I want to marry her. Yeah, you can marry her. She's done muta 10 times. Will he agree? Or better say, my mother is a widow. My father passed away. I try to look after. I can do everything else, but one khidmat I can't do. Anybody here want to make muta with my mother? Come to my house. Will any Shia Zakir in his frame of akal and ever say that? Ever put out this message on BBM? Never. Why? Because he knows it's immoral. He knows it's filthy. He knows it's indecent. And the only reason why they say it's good, because they want to prey on your daughters. They want to prey on Sunni girls. They want to ruin their life. They want to destroy their life, their honor. Their honor, the honor of their parents, the honor of the society they are in. So they are aggressively pushing muta. Why you want to have a girlfriend, boyfriend? If anybody, Allah forbid, had a girlfriend, he ended up committing zina Friday night, Saturday night, whenever. Next day, he will probably feel ashamed of himself. Feel ashamed he did wrong. And probably many people do. They end up making severe tawbah. Because I am Imam, alhamdulillah, many people come to me. They say, well, sir, you know, please. Since that day, I haven't been able to sleep. I did severe wrong. And they realize, they repent. And because they repent, then sometimes they end up in a permanent relationship. They get married, even with the same girl or whatever, and their whole issue is covered up, and they start living a decent life. So if somebody has a girlfriend, ends up committing zina, I am not saying, please carry on. No, not for a moment. It's haram. But there's a good chance that man might repent. But if somebody says, no, no, you're not my girlfriend, let's just go for an hour, muta. It's sawab. Will he ever make tawbah? He'll want to do it next time more. It was nice then. Let's do it for 2 hours. So muta is not the same as nikah. Muta is worse than zina. And it leads a person to kufr. It's gross indecency. And Shias, their religion is totally different. Their belief in Allah is different. Their belief in Rasulullah is different. Their belief in Quran is different. They are immoral. They are indecent. They are fuhsh. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشِ مَا زَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. May Allah save us from this fitnah. And finally, there are many other sins. Somebody comes to Maulvi Sahab, says, Maulana Sahab, my son, he is disobedient to his mother, doesn't work, comes home late at night, is into drugs and gambling, he's working, but all his money is going into gambling, and he's problem, Maulana. Everybody in the house is upset because of him. What might Maulvi Sahab say? May Allah guide him. Somebody else does something wrong, he goes to the Amir Sahab of Tablighi Jamaat. Amir Sahab, please make dua. What will he say? May Allah guide your son, your daughter, whoever. But there's one sin, which Rasulullah said, if you see people committing this sin, don't say, may Allah guide you. Say, may Allah curse you. And that is, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا لَانَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى شَرِّكُمْ. When you see people swearing at my Sahaba, then say, don't say, may Allah guide you. Say, may Allah curse you. Allah said that in the Quran as well. And they don't just curse anybody. They curse Hazrat Abu Bakr. They curse Hazrat Aisha. They curse Hazrat Umar. They curse all the Sahaba. Many people say, but Maulana, they read Kalima. They read Namaz. They fast. They go to Hajj. They read Quran. They have masjid. How can you call them kafir? Well, didn't Abu Bakr read Kalima? Didn't Abu Bakr read Namaz? Didn't Abu Bakr used to fast? Didn't Abu Bakr do Hajj? Didn't Abu Bakr read Quran? If they can call them kafir, then these are bigger kafirs. These are bigger kafirs and they are worse kafirs. They are proper kafirs. May Allah save us all. So your sympathy should not be with these kafirs. Your sympathy should be with Hazrat Abu Bakr. Your sympathy should be with Hazrat Aisha. Your sympathy should be with Hazrat Umar. Your sympathy should be with the rest of the Sahaba and not these. They even built a masjid. And Allah said to Rasulullah, don't ever go and pray in their masjid. لا تقوم فيه أبدا. You are not allowed to go, my dear Prophet, to their masjid. So don't go and pray behind them, thinking they are Muslims. They are a masjid, they are kafirs. Your prayer behind them is not valid. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين يا الله we seek your forgiveness, mercy and blessings. Guide us all to the right path, ya Allah. Guide us, our sons and daughters, young and old, men and women. Ya Allah, guide the whole ummah of your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, save us from all these fitnas, especially the fitna of Qadianism, Shiaism and others, ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us, our sons and daughters. Keep us on Islam as long as we live. When our time comes to leave, this will take us away on Iman. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullah khair, brothers. My sincere apologies for the delay. May Allah reward you all. Jazakumullah khair, brothers.